Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing really well this one November day. The day of one November. I am.
Oh my God, Sarah.
So well. Yes.
Your hair looks so good. Did you get a new cut?
I did. I really love the asymmetry of it. And I got it done by this up and coming guy. Mm-hmm. I would say he's an entrepreneur.
Yeah, definitely an entrepreneur. Very, doesn't say a lot, but what he does say, he really means.
He's really nice, though.
For good things about him. Quite the outfit he wears, you know.
He's a ensemble guy.
I will say, like, most beauticians I've been do tend to wear black, so I guess that fits.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. He's a talent, I gotta be honest with you. It's because... Mm-hmm. To have so many talents is just really, really, really impressive.
Yeah. Obviously, we're talking Edward Scissorhands. You saw the title of the podcast. Mm-hmm. In Winnovember, as Winnovember. We coined it, Winnovember, whichever one works.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that Winona Ryder didn't show up in this movie until a good, like, 3 minutes in.
Well, yeah, like, we had a lot of business to take care of before she came.
A lot of business. Let's reset our history with this film, because I've only seen it once, and I saw it when I was, I believe, a teenager, late teens, maybe early college years at best. So I didn't have a huge memory of it beyond I remembered he did the hedge trimming, and then I remembered he eventually did, like, hair. But beyond that, I truly didn't remember a single moment of this film. And I have to say, it was much more unhinged than I remembered it being.
Really?
So I can't wait to talk about this. What about you? You loved this movie.
Well, okay. So, like, let me set the scene. Mm-hmm. The year is 2004. Pirates of the Caribbean just got on videotape and DVD. Me and my friend are watching it to watch the young up-and-coming actor Orlando Bloom, who is
I was obsessed with him.
Well, who we were meant to be thirsting after. And I am watching this, and my daddy issues brain goes right to Mr. Johnny Depp and says, "This is the man I have chosen to worship for the next 5 years." And that was my reality. Now, This then became a big crush. Now, I'm not just saying like, oh, I really liked him. It was like my bedroom and then eventually my dorm room was plastered in Johnny Depp movie posters. I had flashcards of Johnny Depp facts and that I would test myself about. Yes, I did. This is a true statement.
You gave yourself homework about Johnny Depp?
I did. Like, I made flashcards. And I'm sending you, yeah, I'm sending you some pictures of my freshman year dorm room and my teenage bedroom. And in this picture, two pictures, there are four Johnny Depp posters between the two of them in a very small
space. I'm seeing Edward Scissorhands. I'm seeing a Pirates of the Caribbean. I am not aware of what the other one is. Is it
Finding Neverland.
Finding Neverland.
But I definitely had a Sleepy Hollow poster as well. And then there's a picture of a shirtless Johnny Depp.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay.
Smoking in a bathtub. And wow. Yeah.
Also, there's a Grease poster, which I really appreciate.
Grease is the word.
There's also in the background, like a drawing of like some birds in a nest or something. So I don't know what that is.
So you're looking at my freshman dorm room.
I think
I was just drawing pictures and I put them up. There was a lot of knickknacks, paddywhacks. My gnome collection somehow made the trip to the dorm room.
Are you kissing a figurine of Sirius Black?
So that's in my that's in the picture that is of my childhood teenage bedroom. I have a figurine of Sirius Black and I am kissing him. Yes. And
everything screams daddy issues. I'm not gonna lie.
So like this was me before way before I met you. This is like the era where I only wore band t-shirts and I had like
definitely eyeliner on the bottom lash line for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh totally. I mean like and like this is like when I was a fucking freak. Yeah, like we talk about freaks and geeks about like when I was a freak. So yeah. So essentially, I love Johnny Depp. I made a point to purposely watch every single Johnny Depp film. And I think one of my favorites was Edward Scissorhands. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely something that I like watched a lot and I'm very, very familiar with. And I also like kind of like Tim Burton because once again, I was like trying to be like some sort of like edgy emo scene kid. And like, I don't know, those like spooky shits like related to me somehow, even though I don't know, it wasn't really me. I was like trying something, you know,
we all go through those moments, especially at that age for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish I didn't have the legal right to get my body modified at that age because my brain wasn't developed, but whatever.
At least you didn't get a Johnny Depp tattoo.
Girly, you have no clue.
In 2023, what your life would be like with a Johnny Depp tattoo.
Okay, so I have a really embarrassing email address that I'm still associated with that's kind of Johnny Depp themed. Like, I swear to goodness, none of it was good. So, and then eventually I'm like, Johnny Depp is kind of feminine looking and I really, really want a man and crush on a celebrity that can chop wood and throw me down. So then like I fell off the Johnny Depp train when my taste in men became, I want you to be dumb as rocks, big and burly with a beard.
Yeah, and that's certainly not Johnny Depp.
No.
I never really cared about Johnny Depp. Like, I'd say the most I was ever interested in him or, like, intrigued by him is probably better would be when he was in Pirates of the Caribbean. Because Captain Jack Sparrow was, like, a revelation, right? Like,
yes.
Everybody was obsessed with those movies and him and Orlando Bloom. And, like, obviously, like, Orlando Bloom is, like, the sexy one in that movie for most people.
For most people, yes. Most people. That's the caveat for most people.
But yeah, Edward Scissorhands is certainly a strange film. Obviously, like you said, it's a Tim Burton film. We might as well talk about our history with Tim Burton as well, because I feel like it like very much goes hand in hand here. I've seen Nightmare Before Christmas. You know, I've seen a bunch of his. I've seen his Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Really hate it. I'd say for me the best Tim Burton movie is probably the Batman films that he did. But oh. I'm really not like a massive fan of Tim Burton and his style. It's a little dark for me. I was not a kid who really enjoyed spooky, scary, dark themed things. I usually would go the opposite direction of those. So I don't have the nostalgia for it that a lot of people do. To me, though, this movie had big Wes Anderson vibes. Oh. And I think that's kind of strange considering obviously it's not a Wes Anderson film. There were just some moments where Wes Anderson isn't afraid to like sit in the quietness and the pause. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it felt like there were a lot of those moments in this film. But yeah, like, are you a big Tim Burton fan? Like, did you watch a lot of his films, or was it the Johnny Depp that got you to here?
It was the Johnny Depp that got me to here. Now, the thing is that yes, like if there was a Johnny Depp movie, then I did follow suit. The most fascinating thing that I've experienced with Tim Burton was that he had a MoMA, a Museum of Modern Art exhibit. I think the year was 2009 to 2010. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, first and foremost, he's an artist, and a lot of his inspiration comes from his own sketches, notably. His inspiration for Edward Scissorhands came from like an old sketch that he did of like some like tall, lanky guy with like sharp fingers. Mm-hmm. So the MoMA exhibit was very fascinating because it had movie props, but also it had a lot of his sketches from when
interesting.
Yeah. From like when he was younger and like concepts. So I think that sticks out in terms of my appreciation for Tim Burton. It was a really interesting art exhibit, but yeah, like it was mainly just Johnny Depp, and that was the hill that I was going to die on. So once again, like I think Sleepy Hollow, him and Johnny Depp were in, like they're friends, Tim Burton and Johnny yeah. Depp.
And this was kind of friends. The beginning of that, right? Was this not one of the first
yep.
few? Yep. So, because he's very young in this. Oh, it was the first. Okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. First
collaboration between the two of them. And Tim Burton is like a Wes Anderson or a Judd Apatow. It's like he finds his people and he never not casts them in a movie. So, like,
yeah.
Helena Bonham Carter gets that treatment. Yes. Johnny Depp gets that treatment. He really likes to cast the people that he likes to cast.
The problem is you need to make sure whoever you're going to repeatedly cast in every single film you ever make, mm-hmm. you have to make sure they're never going to be canceled.
Yeah, you know.
That's the problem here, I think.
I mean, that is a downside, but I mean, not for nothing. I know this is like Winona November, but I mean, like, this is also notably our first movie that we've covered of Johnny Depp, and like he's a big part of the 80s and the 90s. He was like a heartthrob there, and like a lot of our hesitation was the allegations with Amber Heard in the last few years, and it's, you know, it's like awkward, but I kind of just stand on the hill that like it's not only Johnny Depp or these problematic people that create this content. There's hundreds of cast and hundreds of crew members that go into it, and to not speak on their work and their hard work and their dedication because of one bad apple is not great. So like I do think it's great that we're finally talking about like these people like Tim Burton and Johnny Depp and Winona Ryder, because like they were huge icons. I think Winona Ryder getting into her the woman of the month. I mean, like, she made her debut in the 80s and was like an 80s it girl, but she was still extremely popular and an it girl in the 90s. And I think like for me, like what's the most famous Winona Ryder movie is, for me, is probably still always going to be Edward Scissorhands. It's just like how I came across her, how I found her, or Beetlejuice, which is, we haven't talked about that yet, but that is another Tim Burton movie, mm-hmm. With Winona Ryder. You haven't seen it.
Still haven't Beetlejuice. I've been waiting because I know a lot of people have, like, it always gets brought up around this, you know, this time of the year.
Yeah, it's technically a 1989 movie or 88.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's technically not a 90s movie, but we had it up on the poll. She was also in Heathers, which is pretty iconic as well. And then, of course, I don't know. Like, okay, so she was in Little Women, Reality Bites. There's so many movies. Girl Interrupted is a big one. She was later in some Adam Sandler movies, Zoolander. And then something happened. She infamously,
I know this story.
She shoplifted at, I don't know.
Yeah. Wasn't it underwear? Isn't that what she stole?
Who knows? Who knows? It was from a department store, like Nordstrom or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that kind of like killed her career, which is really funny. And weird because it's like you're Winona Ryder, like you don't have to be stealing.
What are you doing, girl? You're right.
I think it's just like the thrill of it all.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It's just interesting. Like I think of her and I think of somebody like Robert Downey Jr., who were humongous 80s and 90s icons, and they get canceled. It wasn't called canceled back in the day, but that's essentially what it is. And their careers are dead for a decade or so. And something like Stranger Things for Winona Ryder or Iron Man for Robert Downey Jr. revives their careers. And here they are again after all this time. Yeah. And I kind of like the Hollywood redemption story of people that come back around, and we forgive them because we're all human. We all do little fuck ups.
Yeah.
Sometimes you steal underwear and do a shit ton of drugs and get fired from
Ally
McBeal. Sometimes
you do that.
and sometimes that's what happens. And it's okay to welcome these people back into our lives and give them jobs.
Yeah,
maybe not the Me Too people, but definitely the shoplifting ones.
Yeah, yeah, shoplifting is nowhere near as heinous.
I've shoplifted.
I think we've talked about that on Dawson's Creek once. I really like Winona Ryder now. Like, obviously, I think her work in Stranger Things is incredible. Like, I think she's a really big part of the heart of that show. But it's such an interesting role for her in Edward Scissorhands, where I guess we could start talking about this movie now, where, like, we have this elderly woman. Wait, it's very
elderly.
The beginning of it is.
Oh, okay.
In the beginning, it's very Princess Bride.
I thought you were talking about Diane West for a second.
Oh my, never.
And I was like never. Elderly woman.
No, she is gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah. So did the beginning is very Princess Bride.
Yeah. Did you realize that this was Winona Ryder?
Not right away because I wasn't like looking very closely at her face, but obviously the end of the film when they zoom in on her, it's like very obvious.
Well, yeah, I can tell by her voice, but
yeah. I don't think I'm as familiar with her. So it's, you know, to me, the voice isn't as recognizable. But we get, and this felt like such a flashback, like such a different time, where we get Peg, who is the like Avon saleswoman,
yes.
Played by, as you said, Diane West. And this was so funny to me, especially when she goes to like the one lady who's like, you come here all the time and I never buy anything.
Well, yeah. So like she lives in this neighborhood that is so Americana, and like it kind of reminds me of just like a Midwest suburb, or like just like any suburb.
I think they said it was filmed in like Florida or something, but definitely. Sure. I don't know if anybody ever watched Weeds, but like big like suburbia vibes of like little boxes. They all look just the same. Like they all are like except they're all different colored, but they all look identical.
Yeah.
And I really love, again, the world building in this movie is fantastic. Like it's immediately obvious what the lay of the land is, how all of these people are very like, I love the, as we would call in Practical Magic, the phone tree of yes. everyone calling everyone when there's gossip yeah. about the town.
There's busybodies. So like a small town neighborhood, the gossip tree gossips. And these women, so it's like, you see, it's like very stylized, like mm-hmm. their husbands leave work, then the women are at play where they mm-hmm. can like fuck around all day. Then they have to run back home by the time their husbands get home and make sure dinner's yeah. on the table. It's very stylized. It's supposed to be like a, it's like, is this the 1990s or is this the 1950s?
Exactly.
I don't know, but
yeah. And I really loved the, oh, we'll meet you on the corner like type of situation. And so, yeah, so we follow Peg and then we hear all about this like huge mansion that we see. And I love how it like, it's very like the Grinch where it like mm-hmm. looms over the rest of the town up on this huge, huge hill.
I am shocked that the town hasn't done everything they could possibly do to knock that place down.
You'd think that the HOA would have a field day about it.
Oh yeah.
They must not qualify because they're just outside or something. But I love it.
There has to be something that could be done. It's an eyesore.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like at the end of this cul-de-sac and Peg is like had enough of trying to sell in her little village. So she's like, I'm going to go up to this mansion, which she like, I feel like as soon as I got to the gate and one of the gates was like on the ground, I'd be like, I don't think so. I'm not into this.
But who are you expecting to find there? Like, are you expecting to find like the lady of the manor so that you can like sell her makeup? Avon. Like,
I think that Peg, honestly, I think Peg is just curious. Peg yeah. is someone who, as we'll see, like to me, probably the heart of the film. I know, like, obviously Edward is like a big character and everything. But Peg is so sweet and endearing. I don't know how everybody – I immediately understand why she gets cast, why Dana West gets cast in the role of Peg, because she's so sweet and matronly. Yeah. It's hard not to love her immediately.
Yeah, like I want her to mom me. Like yeah. I – like she really – makes me feel like comfortable and safe. Mm-hmm. So she lets herself in, but before that she sees all these like topiaries and she's like, oh, that's interesting. It's well manicured on the outside. On the inside is a shithole.
Like it's like dusty. I mean, I wouldn't be opening like, up this place, yeah. but it's terrible. It's like very open with nothing in it.
Yeah, it's like a Scooby-Doo commercial.
It is. And she continues to still walk around. She goes upstairs and like the roof is gone in one of the sections of the yeah. house. And she sees this person in the corner and it turns out to be Edward. And this is like the whole beginning of the story where like there was an inventor and he like created Edward, but didn't give him hands.
No, he was mid-hands. Mid-hands. He was about to get his hands.
And that's when he died.
Yeah. I don't know why. Okay. So, like, I mean, like, I have a lot of questions.
Obviously. Of all the things to give yourself as hands, scissors, sharp, sharp implements, and yeah. multiple of them is what you give yourself?
Yeah. I mean, like, it seems a little impractical. Like, maybe you don't want him to have hands because, like, you're still trying to, like, teach him how to be a human. And you don't want him to have the hands to have the abilities to strangle somebody. But also, the hands are very dangerous. Also,
are so dangerous. Like, he, yeah. first of all, he's covered in cuts and scars because of this.
Yes, yes.
And I love the first thing Peg does is, like, try to, like, fix him with the Avon makeup, which is, we'll talk about that later because her putting what looked like mayonnaise all over his face. Yeah,
the application was no good.
No. But she's just like yeah. immediately wants to mother him. And she's like, are you here all alone? And he says yes. And she's like, okay, I'm taking you home. And she basically, and I don't know like how old Edward is supposed to be. It just seems like it doesn't particularly matter. But he's very, you know, he has like a childlike brain at this point. And so she's going to take him home and she puts him in the car, loads him in the car and starts driving with him. And I love how he nearly like decapitates her, just like pointing at things in the neighborhood.
I love how he just has like a little face of like, okay, this is where we're going now.
He like, doesn't put sure. up a fight. Yeah, no, I think
he has. Main- he has no like ability to be like, this is like maybe not safe for me, or like this is like maybe I don't want to do this. He's just like, okay, like we're just going. So. He kind of reminds me of my dog Oliver.
I mean, that's fair. He does give off animal vibes, and I think it's because, I mean, think about how much time he spent up there alone. Like, he probably all he wants is companionship, and so he's willing to just follow Peg around like a little puppy.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
So he brings, and of course, as she's going in through town, everyone is seeing her driving through in the car with him. And of course, like the gossip starts churning, the rumor mill is churning, everyone's talking to everyone. It was so fast. And I love how she gets a phone call about it. She answers the one phone call. And the next time she looks at her phone, the entire tape on the voicemail box is full for people leaving messages.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. And I think that this is just like fucking suburbia, right? Like this is the type of shit that you deal with. Like I kind of love it. I mean like I would be one of those bitches on the corner.
You like, would love to be like the queen of the corner.
I
and not in like a not in a sex worker way, just
like, maybe. I mean, like how much money can I get?
Turning those tricks, but your tricks are gossip nuggets.
I really would be into the gossip. Like I want to know what's going on. Like I mean, we talk about this often, but like when I was over at your house, I was just like sitting at the window, like watching the people, like people go, people come, like what's going on here? What's like going on with like this person's car? It's very fascinating. And I think that, I don't know, like I just love the suburbs. You are like, I don't care.
I live in the suburbs and I would rather not. I just don't care. I can't express that enough that I just don't simply care what
you don't care. Like you don't care. Like you, like if you saw, I don't know, like if you like knew your neighbor always had like two cars and then like one day for like 3 days, another car showed up. You don't have that curiosity to be like, who is this? Like, what's going on in the house?
Nope. I don't know that I would even notice is the thing. Like, I really don't think I would notice. Like, I just don't pay attention. And I would rather be in the middle of the woods with, like, no one around me.
It took me zero time to figure out, like, everybody that lived in my apartment complex, like, upstairs and downstairs and be like, oh, like this person is doing this and like the brown haired girl's dating this guy. Mm-hmm. And I like it is like it's like, I don't know. It's like a cake to me. It's delicious. Yeah, I love
it. You love it. You really do.
I do. I'd be the bitch on the corner.
Yeah. But so everyone's chatting about this. Meanwhile, like Peg is trying to get Edward settled in. She like gives him new clothes to put on, which he really struggles with because again, he has scissors for hands.
Yeah, everything is really tough for him. But don't call him handicapped.
No. Mm-mm. And so she's helping him. She like shows him pictures of her family. And of course, it's like he's a little smitten kitten, like pretty much immediately.
Yeah, because he sees Kim, who is Peg's teenage daughter.
Yeah, yeah. And then he like she puts him in Kim's room and he immediately pops her waterbed.
This
and
is
how he's able to go in it later without it being fully just like completely empty is beyond me.
Well, he put the stuffed animal on it so it blocked the hole.
Obviously, that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, I really want to experience the waterbed life just once.
I did too. When I was a kid, it was all I wanted was a waterbed. I thought they were the coolest things. But now I'm like, I would get seasick on that bitch.
What's
like,
the
absolutely
purpose
not.
Of it? Is it the motion in the ocean, if you know what I mean? Is
yeah,
that
like,
the purpose?
How do you have sex on a waterbed?
Point of a waterbed. I think that it helps.
You think it
inertia. Ooh,
but let me. But when bed. You like, okay, because you would move in a specific direction, and the water would move with you. I guess if you timed it correctly, the timing is the important piece. I think
to sleep on a waterbed is incredibly comfortable because they sort of envelop you and fit to your natural sleeping posture.
I also think it would be something that, like, in the summer it would be really hot, and in the winter it would get really cold, and I think that would not be great.
Yeah. Well, I would still want to try it.
I would try it, but
it seems like, oh, it says it's cozy to sleep in the winter. Oh, because you can get heated water beds.
Oh, well, the heated, that's what you would need. Yeah, otherwise, oh my God, what if it froze?
What if it froze? That seems like a you problem.
Like, of course, the entire neighborhood is very interested in knowing all about Edward. And I really enjoyed the scene of them eating dinner where he's like picking up one pea at a time. And I'm like, literally just like the whole, you have scissors, right? Like literally cut your food and stab it and eat it. Like that's all you have to do.
He's trying to imitate what everybody else is doing. Like once again, like this guy is basically a blank slate and he's taking in everything that's going down. So he's seeing Peg and Peg's husband, who is Bill, maybe, I think.
That's generic white guy name, who cares?
Yeah. And their son, Bill Jr. I don't think that's his name, but whatever.
Literally, he cares also.
And like,
it doesn't really matter much.
Yeah, and he's just trying to like absorb it. And it's, you know, it's a lot to learn for him. But I really do love how like Peg and Bill are like very welcoming into their home. And like, I think that there's just a very like, they're kind people. And I think that we see throughout this movie that, you know, this is the perfect example of nice versus kind, Jessica.
There you go. Explain it to people.
Because there's a huge difference between being nice and kind. Like, Peg and Bill are kind. They bring them into their home. They encourage him to do things. They don't expect anything of them. Now, the townspeople, the busybodies, they're nice to Edward, but only for the benefit of themselves. They like the fact that he's different. Because a lot of it's benefiting them. It's like a circus act, right? But when push comes to shove, they're not kind to Edward because they reject him. And once the unfamiliarity becomes uncomfortable to them, they reject him, which is like really fucked up. So like but Peg and Bill are kind. They welcome them into their home. They encourage his entrepreneurial spirit. They want him to make money and not get taken advantage of by all the townsfolk like they do. So I really do love the fact that like Peg and Bill just like want him to be like part of the family.
Yeah.
Good people.
They really do. Like, you're right. They are very, very kind to him. And meanwhile, the rest of the neighborhood is really just curious about him. They're like kind to his face or nice to his face.
Nice to his face. Exactly.
Yeah, except for the one like really like religious.
Oh,
person.
Esmeralda is there. And she's just like very, I don't know. And she's like, they're picturing her as like the town kook. Like, you know, this guy is like from hell, like he's not like safe. I don't really know like the point of it all, except for like the fact that because like Edward Scissorhands is, he's just like a little bug, like he's not doing anything.
The problem is he has weapons on the tips of his fingers at all times and people are scared by that, but Kim isn't. Kim comes home from like some camping trip and she really is just like Peg. She only sees the kindness in Edward for the most part.
I'm giving except a face because Kim is a piece of shit.
Wait, is Kim not Winona Ryder?
She is, but she's a piece of shit.
She like falls in love with him.
No, I mean, okay. So like the thing is that like, so it's supposed to be like a sweet little love story, right? Like, you know, they're yeah, like but come it's from creepy. Different worlds and, you know, blah, blah. Like he starts like crushing on her and she
falls in love with her instantly, which is creepy.
Well, because it's like love at first sight. And then Kim has this like douchey jock boyfriend, Jim.
Which is, okay, we need to talk about the fact that he's played by Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Because Anthony Michael Hall, pre this movie, pre Edward Scissorhands, mm-hmm. was a nerd. He was a geek in literally everything he was in.
Yeah.
Like he was the geek in Breakfast Club. He was mm-hmm. the geek in Weird Science. He was the geek in 16 Candles. Like he was always the geek. And so when yeah. I saw him in this and he was like big bad bully Jim, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, he got buff. He yeah. got buff and he no. became now he's a the
blonde bully.
Yeah, blonde bully. Like freaking blonde bullies. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. So like this guy is like horrible and is instantly like very rude to Kim. And Kim is like kind of like sketched out by him. I mean, she comes home and there's like this like creepy like pale guy in her bed, so I get it, like it's creepy, it's scary, but and also I don't know, she's like freaked out about it. But there is just the more I watch this movie, the more I realize that like Kim is not like a good girl like
no, because she does implicate Edward when like they go to pick that lock or whatever.
Yes.
And she's like a go with girl where she's not gonna stand up for what she believes in right away. She just goes along with Jim and lets Edward get freaking arrested.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, like she doesn't defend him. She's not honest with her family or the yes
honestly people. Screw Kim, like we only like yeah. Meg here, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Peg is at least very kind. But it's yeah. like, it's interesting because the thing that I found most ridiculous. So like Edward starts, like they discover he has a knack for making these topiaries. Yes. Right. Like he makes a T-Rex in their backyard, which I loved.
You loved. And he also yeah. made the family. The
yeah. little, and it was lovely. Family. And so he starts to do all of this. And then suddenly we get Joyce. Joyce is like, oh, I want to help you.
Yeah. Joyce is a town hoe.
She is. She's like, I'm going to help you open a hair salon. So she like brings him to this location, tries to seduce a man with scissors for hands. Yeah. What do you think, ma'am, we need to, okay. Let me explain to you how the body works. How do you expect him? First of all, he can't finger you because you would die. You would literally die. He certainly has never fucked anybody. So like, I don't know what you're expecting. Like he has the mental capacity of like an 8-year-old. Like I don't like, what is he gonna, he has no like experience with any of that. Like he's a yeah. child.
She's a predator and a creep, and she is constantly like seducing Edward and being inappropriate with him and also taking advantage of him. I don't think she paid him for her dog's haircut nor her own haircut.
No, definitely not. And I love, yeah, so he starts also giving women's haircuts. Like Peg gets her haircut by him as well. And yeah, so like it's Edward does take responsibility for the robbery, even though again,
he, yeah, okay. So basically you know. What happens is Jim wants a van so that he can fuck Kim in the van. Want their own van. They want a fucking van. Yeah, they want to troll around town in a van. And his daddy's really, really rich, but his dad doesn't want to buy him the van because he wants him to work for it. Right. And Jim is like, fuck that. I want the van now. So his big idea, because they see that Edward can pick locks because he has actual talent, and he's like, you know, Edward, you know, he lies. He says that like, oh, this person stole something from me and we have to get it back. And once again, Edward doesn't really understand what's right from wrong. Mm-hmm. He's just like kind of like going along with the flow, whatever people tell him.
Just do what people ask of him.
Well, yeah, especially Kim, who he has taken a liking to. So the plan for Jim is, you know, we're going to break into my dad's like safe and steal the money. But the alarm goes off and Kim and Jim run away and close the door behind them. And poor little Edward with his scissor hands can't turn the doorknob. It's horrible. And yeah. He gets caught. And yeah. He gets arrested, and they were going to like shoot him down because they were like, you have weapons. But he's like,
yeah, put your weapons down.
Yeah. Thankfully the townsfolk, the busybodies are like, no, like those are his hands, which don't you think it's stupid? Like, don't you think like the town cops would like know that there is this like, you'd
think
guy.
It's the talk of the town. Yeah, so you'd certainly think.
Yeah, you would. It's like there's not like five of these guys running around.
No, it's so ridiculous. Yeah. But like as a result, the entire town is like against him because
because there's that. And then Joyce, because she got rejected, is like he came on like to
advantage
me
or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. So now he's seen as the bad guy. Kim has the opportunity to kind of clear the air, at least on this end. She chooses not to. Of course, Edward's going to take the blame. And then I love how Bill was like, gave the little pop quiz to Edward. Is like, mm-hmm. if you find a suitcase of money, what do you do? And he's like, poor little Edward's like, oh, like give it to my friends and family as for gifts. And like Bill's like, no, like that's not right. You have to bring it to the police. He just doesn't know. And he's so he's a little
child. Yeah. And so we like fast forward and we're at Christmas. And this, I mean, I was already like not super into the vibe of the film, but like this sent me over sent me over the edge.
What's that?
Where he's like, Edward is very talented. And so now he's done topiaries. He's done hair. He's done dog hair. Now he's doing ice sculptures. Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay. He carves one that looks like Kim because, again, he's obsessed with her.
He's obsessed with her. But once again, he's very talented and he's an entrepreneur.
He's an entrepreneur.
He's a billionaire at this rate.
Now, I don't know that I needed to explain this to people, but in case people misunderstand, if they don't live somewhere where it snows often, ice shavings aren't snow and they're not going to cause a snowstorm. They're pretty much going to just fall to the ground and melt. And Kim is like, I don't know why, but it reminded me of Phantom of the Opera. And I can't exactly explain why, but she's like dancing in this like snow that doesn't really exist. And it's basically like she falls in love with Edward because he can create snow for her. And I'm like, that's a bit of a bitch move.
Okay, so in this world, ice shavings equals snow. And I think this town's never seen snow before. So, yeah. Like, at the end of the movie, they get snow all the time because Edward's up there, like, making his little ice sculptures. So he creates snow for these people.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And so Kim is like dancing and there's Jim and he's being a big old fucking dick like always. And Edward accidentally cuts Kim. And so Jim like loses his mind. But this is where Kim finally decides to be a human being and is like, no, Jim, you suck. We're over. But Edward is like,
Edward's
running
pissed.
Away at this point.
So he's mad. Like he's, you know, had like such an even temperament this whole time, but now he's like acting out. He's like ripping the wallpaper, he's ripping the curtains.
He's like destroying everything.
Yeah, he's in a mood. Like he like chops off the topiary. Like he's kind of like, now I think like we've gotten like, he was 8 years old in the mind of an 8-year-old. Now we're like Harry Potter 5 mood, you know.
Oh god,
we're now like moody teenage boy.
Yeah
So like he's like in his funk, he's pissed. He doesn't like Jim, he doesn't like that Jim has a like, you know, some things with Kim.
Yeah. Kim. And I love, so he like stomps off in a little child tantrum, and the only thing that makes him feel better is a cute little pup that comes in and calms him. And I, my favorite moment of this movie was when he gives the dog a little bang trim.
Yeah, because the hair is covering his eyes.
He's a little like sheep Republican guy.
Yeah. So then like another shit goes down where like I think Jim is like drunk driving or something and is about to hit like this little kid. So then Edward like tries to push him out of the way, but then it looks like he's like attacking the kid. And then like then we start getting the pitchforks.
Yes, it becomes, the entire town is now against Edward.
Yeah, it becomes very Beauty and the Beast, where they like come and try to like storm after him.
Or Shrek.
Yes, Shrek.
And so he like, again, Jim is like attacking him. And so he cuts Jim's arm and then basically he runs away. He runs, he's like going to go back up to his little mountain by himself. And Kim, of course, follows him, and then Jim follows Kim, and it's like a whole big fight. Jim comes after Edward, who Edward like doesn't really want to fight him, and then Jim smacks Kim, and it's like, again, he's a little dog, so he gets like, rrr, 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 like, you can't, that's mine, Kim. And so he stabs Jim, and Jim does the like backwards fall out a window.
Oh yeah,
his death
sucks. But now this gets like, it's a bad position because like now like he accidentally,
well, it was on purpose that time.
Accidentally on purpose killed somebody. So now everyone's already mad at him. Like they're going to be like, oh, he killed somebody. So now Kim's in a position where she's just like, like, how can I get Edward to live in peace? Like, he's never going to be able to go back down the hill.
No, of course not.
No.
Yeah. Like, and she, so then she kisses him and she leaves him there. And as the like townsfolk have their pitchforks and get to the top of the hill, she comes out and she's just like, listen, they fought and they both fell to their death. And I, my favorite, and I, this is where I would have been like sus as fuck on Kim, is when she's like, you can go check if you want. So I'd be like, bitch, I will take you up on that.
I'd be like, yeah, they're like, but you don't want to. It's really gross, really bloody. Yeah. It's really bloody. It's like a mess out there. Plus it's really bad dust.
She's like, it's really hard to get there though. Like you have to like, to go up to hills and down hills.
Your
and
you're allergies not wearing the right raging. There's like ice everywhere. You might slip.
Exactly. And she's, oh, you, but look at these gorgeous topiaries in the front. You could spend your time looking at these instead.
And then like, here's like a scissor, like a random like scissor.
Proof that he died. Yeah.
It's like, yes, one hand is just the proof that somebody no longer exists.
This
like,
is all you
I want to see a heart, you know?
Yeah.
But then we this also know, so, we also know like you can just get a boar's heart. Like, you know?
Yeah, you can need, trick people.
You need a head.
Yeah. My favorite is that like, obviously, like, and we fast forward in time like a lot. And so the idea that no cops, nobody ever went there to check on anything. They just left Jim's dead corpse to rot.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, does Jim's parents not care?
No, like, no one cares about. They're like, eh, we didn't really like him that much anyway. We heard about the hills and the allergies, and we just don't want to bother.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered. It seems like a little tough.
It was so funny to me. I was just like, literally, they're just taking her word for it. What is this movie?
Of course, Kim is a respectable girl about town.
Oh, God, except for the fact that like. Okay, I feel like at this point, the entire Boggs family is like on the shit list of the town because they're associated get out of with
there.
Edward.
Yeah, you got to get out of there. There is, I can't believe she still lives in that town like 80 so years toxic. Later.
This, okay, for every film or like real life situation where people experience this like really, really big traumatic incident in their town they grew up in, why do you stay? Like literally, I know it's expensive to move like very far, but is it expensive to move like 15 minutes to the next town over? I don't think so.
I don't think so, but they probably own their house and it probably costs them like $5,000.
I'm just saying, it's absolutely ridiculous and it's absolutely preposterous that no cop ever checked in on any of this. And we like flashback to, we're going forward in time, we back to the elderly woman who of course is actually Kim, and the granddaughter's like, but why didn't you see him again? Why? She's like, well, it was dangerous. And she's like, well, then how do you know he's still alive?
Because we got snow, idiot.
Fucking insane. She's like, the only way it snows is when he, how many ice sculptures is he carving up there to make it snow on the entire town? And the fact that he never fixed this window because he wanted it to snow on the town, he just lives up there with a hole in his wall just to make it snow on the town.
Jessica, he has nothing else to live for, you know?
His existence is so sad.
We had one good week in like 1,000 years, and now like he doesn't have a dad, he doesn't have a robot brother, he doesn't have a girlfriend, he's got nothing. Now we have wait until like 100 years for another idiot girl to go up there and be like, oh, like Tupperware
because
party.
Because he pretty much is immortal from what we understand, because he's not human, you know, he's a creation.
That's the word that they're using, a creation.
He's a creation, like he could be like a homunculus or something. I don't really know, but at least
what's a homunculus?
Homunculus is like a, I don't know if it's a D&D term. I want to say it is. It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like a, there's like metal involved.
Where did you get that word from?
From D&D. Let me look up what it is in D&D. Hold on. It's a construct.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, the point being that, like, we have to talk about the fact that fucking Kim, who's trying to be like, yes, dear granddaughter, this is the most romantic tale of all time, which it's certainly not. She had to fuck somebody to have a granddaughter.
Yeah, who did she, who's the guy that came after Jim and Edward? Like, who is that?
That's what I need to know, because Jim is a certain type of guy, right? He's like big blonde bully. And then we have Edward, who's gothic. Pale, like, creature. Yeah. Where's the middle?
Yeah, where's the, who's the middle?
I think it's a brunette. I feel like it has to be.
Probably like light brown hair.
Yeah, I mean, I think her granddaughter had brown hair, so that would track, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah, like, who, and like, how do you explain this? Like, yeah, like, I fell in love with the homunculus.
It was quite the hunkulus.
Stupid. It's like, but do you feel, I feel so bad for Edward.
Of course I do, because first of all, as far as we understand, he's immortal, right? Mm-hmm. So he's just going to be living up there alone for, I mean, if we're looking at Kim's age as like, let's be kind and say she's like in her like 60s or 70s.
What are you talking about? That 80s? That person was like in their 80s.
Okay, so 80 years old. She was like 16 in the beginning of the film. Mm-hmm. So that's 64 years of him up there just carving with no companionship. I mean, we don't even know how long he was up there before, you know, before all of that happened.
This is so depressing.
Can I just say, okay, can I give you a little bit of my own headcanon though?
Yeah.
To make it a little less depressing.
Yeah.
Okay. Kim's a full-on bitch, right? Like, Kim is like, nope, we're done here. He dead. Moving on. Okay. You cannot convince me that our fan fave, Miss Peg, does not get curious. And she's like, you know what? I waded through the weeds and the dander and I had my allergy shot. I'm going up there. I'm going to check out what happened.
For what?
To check on it. To see. So, I think she feels a little responsible for like the scissor hand.
Oh, she
manner.
Should. She should. So this is what happens. Every Sunday, we have Sunday dinner at the castle.
That's what I'm saying. And I think she sneaks up there and brings him like baked goods and
Salisbury steak.
Brings him Salisbury steaks, helps him cut it with his scissor hands.
Yeah.
I think he, do you know what he does? Because I feel like after practicing enough time, because he does the topiaries, right? And he does the ice sculptures.
Yeah.
I think eventually he'd be, maybe he has different attachments. I got it now. Because Kim took one of his scissored hands, maybe he replaces it with like very small scissors. Maybe he starts a soap carving business.
Why does he need to carve soap?
Because he can sell it on Etsy.
Okay, how about furniture carving? He can sell it on Etsy. What about furniture carving?
Oh, yeah, he could do wood carving.
He
sure.
Whittle.
But I'm just saying he needs smaller implements because the scissors are like shears. They're like too big.
They're too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this. But you think I'm right that Peg definitely visited. There's no way she didn't.
I think so. I mean, like, I'm surprised that, like, Kim wouldn't have ever gone back.
Because Kim's a fucking bitch. You know, she probably visited for, like, a hot second. And then she's like, Edward, we, like, have to break things off. You see, I met this, like, really cute guy named David. Like, and I think I'm going to – and he asked me to marry him. Like, you know that's what happened.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, that was Edward Scissorhands. I gotta be honest and say, like, I don't think I'll watch this movie again.
Why?
It's so bizarro. I don't know. It's just not for me. I'm not a huge Tim Burton fan. I certainly am not a Johnny Depp fan. And, like, it's just not for me necessarily, you know? Like, it was fun for the one time. Really love Peg. Shouts out to you, Peg. You're the best. Everyone else can fuck off, pretty much.
I mean... Yeah, except for Edward, who really should just...
Edward just gets the shittiest hand dealt to him.
I just really hope that...
Sorry. Sarah's going to quit the podcast in about 2 seconds.
I just want better things for him, and I think it's impossible.
Well, just pretend he got a soap carving business on Etsy, and it'll all be okay.
He's not going to make any fucking money with soap, Jessica.
You bought a bunch of soap once upon a time.
And I did, but, like, I don't think that they're doing so well right now.
All right, then whittling. Maybe he can make those. Okay, I'm going to. Do you know? I don't know what these things are called, but they are, like, wood-carved creepy people with no faces. It's, like, Precious Moments, but wood. And people collect them.
All for what?
I don't know why people collect them.
Okay. I just think that he has the opportunity, but the thing is that he doesn't have internet in there. How is he going to get it out?
Peg.
Peg.
I know. Peg quits her job selling Avon. Is Joyce her boss or is it someone else? I can't remember.
Nobody's her boss. Avon's her boss.
No, she meets like the Avon person, right? When she slathers the mayonnaise on
it. Yeah. Oh, no. She calls. It's not Joyce, though. It's
so
just,
either way.
Someone.
Peg is done with Avon. Instead, she is now a door-to-door saleswoman of things Edward carves. Bing, bang, boom, we done. And people are like, wow, Peg, you're so talented. And she's like, yeah, bitch, I am.
Edward doesn't need money up there.
He really doesn't. I don't think he needs to eat.
Yeah. I don't think he needs much.
I love how we made a problem that didn't need solving. We just created this that didn't. We're just like, here's your solution. And he's like, nothing was broken.
But he's like, okay, like if you want me to start a business, I guess I'll do
it. Fine. I guess I'll go on whatever Etsy is.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, that sounds good. Like whatever you want me to do.
How did this movie hold up for you? So like how long ago did you last see it? Because you obviously have seen it a lot of times. But do you know when the last time is you watched it before this time?
Probably in the last 5 years. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember. I mean, it's like the same movie. Like it doesn't not hold up for me. It's just like the same movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like a specific type of person that likes these types of movies. And they're usually people that have trauma.
It's fair. I don't have a ton of trauma.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anything else you want to say about Edward Scissorhands before we wrap up?
No, I mean, Winona Ryder, I think, like, I mean, honestly, she was like a very edgy kid. Like she wore like, you know, like she had like a buzzed head and wore like cargo pants or whatever. So like getting into this like popular girl with blonde hair and like frilly dresses was apparently like a little challenging for her. And like she said, a lot of the time that like it reminded her of like the girls that like bullied her when she went to school. So it wasn't the most comfortable role for her. But like I think that she did a good job. And I think that, you know, I don't know if it's like this is necessary. It's kind of like remember when we did Mary Kay and Ashley movies? Like I don't think this was a Winona Ryder movie, but I think it was a movie with Winona Ryder in
it. Definitely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but, I get that vibe too.
Yeah, but it was, absolutely something that was voted by our listeners. So
they voted. Yeah.
So they voted. We could have covered plenty of other things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you know, maybe in the future we can cover something with a little bit more of a Winona focus.
Yeah, we'll see. There's always that potential. Like you said, she is a 90s queen, so she could crop up in something else we're covering as well. Before we end this podcast, I need you to do me one favor just in case one of our friends listened. And can you say Winona Ryder just one more time?
Why? Just say yes. Winona Ryder.
Ryder? I hardly know her. Okay, that's better. All set. I've been thinking about it all podcast, and I kept missing the opportunity to do it, you know?
I hate you. I really do.
We should talk about what else we have going on, because obviously we're starting Felicity. That's like a big deal, capital BFD, big fucking deal.
Yes.
We're covering Felicity. If you have feedback you want to send in, please do shit90spod on Twitter, Instagram, and shit90spod@gmail.com, or go to shit90spod.com and leave us a voicemail. We're going to be recording probably on like the weekends, and with the podcast coming out on Monday. So if you have feedback, just to make sure to get it in by then. Beyond that, it is almost time for holiday content. It's almost December.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost holiday season. We have a couple movies that we're already planning on covering, which I'm excited about. Love the holidays.
It should be fun. I'm really excited for the season. And beyond that, we're finishing up Freaks and Geeks as well. So we'll have a little bit of time on our hands for December as we do Felicity and some bonus content, and maybe we'll have some news for you by end of year about what's
maybe
next. Maybe
perhaps
mayhaps we will. I don't think mayhaps a word. I'm losing it anyway. You can find me at the Jess Sterling. You can find me over at Pusher Recaps covering some other stuff. I was recently on One Indescribable Podcast, Sarah.
Yeah.
Such a fun time. Go check them out. They're doing great work on, they're talking about Girls 5 Eva, which is honestly a really fun show. I feel like more people should have checked it out, because I think once it gets its groove, it's pretty fun.
It's like, about like a pop group that is like a bunch of olds now.
Yes. Yeah. But it has a really great cast. Sarah Bareilles. It has Angelica from Hamilton. It has
Busy Phillips.
It has a lot of famous people in it. So go check that out if that's something you're interested in. Otherwise, we'll talk to you all next month with some bonus content, or check us out when we cover Felicity and you'll hear us there. Anything else you want to add, Sarah, before we let the listeners go?
No, I hope that you all have a happy Thanksgiving and holiday season. And grateful for you, Jessica, when you're not giving me migraines, and grateful for our listeners, of course.
Yes. Thank you all for listening. We will catch you all next time. Have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.